Our Lady's Words, taken verbatim from the Mystical City of God by Venerable Mary of Ágreda. Coronation, page 92. In this passage, Our Lady tells us about the coming of the Holy Ghost and instructs us on the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost.
My daughter, in small esteem and thankfulness do the children of the Church hold this blessing of the Most High, by which, in addition to sending His Son as their Master and Redeemer, He sent also the Holy Ghost into His Church. So great was the love by which He sought to draw them to Himself, that in order to make them sharers of His divine perfections, He sent them first the Son, who is Wisdom, and afterwards the Holy Ghost, who is Love, so that all might be enriched in the manner in which they were capable. The Divine Spirit, in coming for the first time upon the apostles and the others gathered with them, intended it as a pledge and testimony that He would confer the same favor on the rest of the children of the Church, of light and of the gospel, and that He was ready to communicate His gifts to all, if all will dispose themselves toward receiving them. In witness to this truth, the Holy Ghost came upon many of the faithful in visible form and with visible effects, because they were truly faithful servants, humble and sincere, pure and ready of heart to receive Him. Also in our times He comes to many just souls, although not with such open manifestations, because it is neither necessary nor proper. The interior effects and gifts are all of the same nature, acting according to the disposition and state of the one who receives them. Blessed is the soul which sighs and aspires after this blessing and seeks to participate in this divine fire which enkindles, enlightens, and consumes all that is terrestrial and carnal, which purifies and raises it up to new existence, union, and participation with God Himself. This happiness, as thy true and loving mother, I desire for thee, my daughter. And in order that thou mayest attain it in its fullness, I again exhort thee to prepare thy heart by seeking to preserve inviolable tranquility and peace in all that may happen to thee. The divine clemency wishes to raise thee to a habitation very exalted and secure, where the torments of thy spirit shall come to an end, and whither the assaults neither of the world nor of hell can reach, where in thy own repose the Lord shall rest and find in thee a worthy dwelling place and a temple of His glory. Thou shalt not escape the attacks and temptations directed against thee by the dragon with the most cunning astuteness, but do thou live in continued wariness, lest thou be disturbed or disquieted in the interior of thy soul. Guard thy treasures in secret. Enjoy the delights of the Lord, the sweet effects of His chaste love, the influences of His holy science, for in this regard He has singled thee out from many generations in utmost liberality. Take heed then of thy calling, and assure thyself that the Most High offers thee anew the participation and communication of His divine Spirit and His gifts. Remember, however, that when He confers them, He does not take away the freedom of thy will, for He ever leaves the election of good or evil to its free arbitrament. Hence, trusting in the divine favor, thou must efficaciously resolve to imitate me in the work shown to thee of my life, and thou must never hinder the effects and the operations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In order that thou mayest understand better this doctrine, I will explain to thee the effects of all His seven gifts. The first one, which is the gift of wisdom, fills the mind with the knowledge and the delight of divine things, and moves the heart to a sincere love toward the practice and exercise of all that is good, all that is best, most perfect, and agreeable in the eyes of the Lord. With this impulse thou must concur, yielding thyself entirely to the pleasure of His divine will, and despising all that might hinder thee, no matter how pleasant it may seem to thy inclinations, or alluring to thy appetite. Wisdom is aided by the second gift, that of intellect, which gives special light to penetrate profoundly into the object presented to the understanding. With this gift thou must cooperate by diverting and turning aside thy attention and thoughts from all the bastard and foreign objects of knowledge, which the demon either by himself or through other creatures shall present to thy mind, in order to distract it and prevent it from penetrating deeply into the truth of divine things. This kind of distraction greatly embarrasses the mind, for the two kinds of knowledge are incompatible with each other. And whenever the limited faculties of man are divided into their attention to many objects, they enter into them less and attend less than if all their operations were riveted on one alone. In this is evident the truth of what the Gospel says, that no man can serve two masters. When the whole attention of the soul has thus been riveted on understanding the good, fortitude, the third gift, is necessary in order to execute resolutely all that the understanding has perceived as most holy, perfect, and agreeable before the Lord. The difficulties and hindrances in the pursuit of good are to be overcome by fortitude, making the creature ready to suffer whatever labor or pain in order not to be deprived of the true and highest good it has come to know. But it often happens that natural ignorance and doubt, added to temptation, withhold the creature from following out the conclusions and consequences of divine truth, and thus create hindrances in the execution of what is more perfect. Hence, against the false prudence of the flesh, God furnishes the fourth gift, that of science, which gives light to distinguish between different kinds of good, teaches the most certain and secure way, and decides upon it when necessary. To this is joined the gift of piety, the fifth, which inclines the soul with sweet urgency to all that is truly pleasing and acceptable to the Lord, and to what is of real spiritual benefit to the one executing it. It inclines the creatures to do things not through the natural passions, but by holy, perfect, and virtuous motives. Then, in order that man may be guided by high prudence, the sixth gift, that of counsel, supports his understanding in order that he may act with precision and without temerity, weighing the means and taking counsel with himself and with others discreetly for gaining honest and holy ends by the selection of the proper means. To all these is added fear, the last, which guards and sets the seal upon all of them. This gift inclines the heart to fly and avoid all that is imperfect, dangerous, or alien to the virtues and perfections of the soul, thus serving as a wall of defense. It is necessary to understand the object and the manner of this holy fear, lest it grow excessive and cause the creature to fear where there is no occasion. Such has often happened to thee through the astuteness of the serpent, when under guise of holy fear, the devil entangled thee in an inordinate liking for the blessings of the Lord. But by this instruction thou art now informed how thou must exercise in thee the gifts of the Most High and prepare thyself for them. I remind and admonish thee that this science of holy fear is the accompaniment of the favors communicated to thee by the Most High, and that it fills the soul with sweetness, peace, and tranquility. It enables the creature properly to estimate and appreciate the gifts which come from the powerful hand of the Almighty. Neither are any of them unimportant, nor does this fear hinder a proper estimate of these gifts. It induces the soul to give thanks with all its powers and to humiliate itself to the dust. In understanding these truths without error and in suppressing the cowardly fear of slaves, thou shalt be filled with filial fear, which, as thy guiding star, will help thee to navigate securely in this ocean of tears.